Chapter 6, Chaos. Friends like family. Family means no one gets left behind or forgotten. David Ogden Stiers. A few days later, Hassan and John were in their room cuddling as they had slept in each other's arms. John woke up first and saw Hassan sleeping peacefully. John kissed him and a smile appeared on Hassan's face as he opened his eyes. "Good morning, Shorty," said John as he put his hand on Hassan's chin.
"Hey, you," Hassan replied.
"I always feel special when you wake me up with a kiss. I want to kiss you every day for the rest of our lives. We have the whole day to ourselves, by the way."
"What do you want to do?" asked John.
"I'm all yours then," said Hassan.
"I know a few things that we can do," said John as he pulled Hassan close.
"What will that be?" flirted Hassan with a coy smile on his face.
"You're about to find out," replied John.
John started kissing Hassan passionately on his lips and bit his lower lip. John took off Hassan's shirt and moved down to his shoulders, madly kissing him. John bit him on his chest and moved down to Hassan's belly as he put Hassan's leg on his shoulder. John could hear Hassan moan and felt him quiver with passion. John reached up to Hassan so that they were face to face. John placed his hands around Hassan's neck and began to grasp it a little roughly. After a few seconds, John began to strangle Hassan until he could barely breathe. Hassan tried to free himself but was unable to as John's grip was strong. John tried to control himself, he tried hard but it seemed that he was not in his senses. John closed his eyes and yelled, "I don't want to do this.
Stop me.
What are you waiting for?
Finish him," John heard his father shouting at him.
John opened his eyes and saw his father sitting in front of him on a chair. He had a cigar in one hand and a drink in the other. John could sense his father's anger and felt terrified.
"This can't be real."
"You are not real," fumbled John as he looked at Hassan, who had stopped moving.
"Please wake up."
"I'm so sorry," said John as he held Hassan in his arms.
"Why would you apologize?
You have now become your true self." "You are a monster," said John's father aggressively.
John started to scream repeatedly, "I'm not a monster. I'm not, I can't be."
Hassan woke John up at that very moment.
"You were having a nightmare, wake up, I'm not a monster," cried John as he placed his head on Hassan's chest.
"I'm right here.
You are not a monster, John.
It was just a dream," Hassan comforted him as he wrapped his arms around him and kissed him on the forehead. Hassan sang a song to John until he had fallen asleep and waited for the night to be over. In the morning, Hassan woke up early, went to the kitchen and prepared breakfast. John was sound asleep when Hassan entered the room to wake him up. Hassan kissed him and asked him to come to the kitchen as he went downstairs to wake up Pete. John let out a stretch and a yawn, got up from the bed and washed his face. John looked at himself in the mirror as he observed his tried eyes. He shook his head and went to the kitchen.
"Good morning, slept well?" asked Pete cheerfully as John came downstairs and took a seat.
"I didn't sleep well.
I feel tired as I had a bad dream," mumbled John as he took a bite of the toast.
Hassan looked at John with a concerned expression and said, "You will feel better after you take a nap in the afternoon."
"I will do that," said John as he gulped down his coffee.
"I was just getting ready and collecting my things.
Do I have work today?"
Pete tried to change the topic.
"I emailed you earlier.
You are off today," replied Hassan.
"Come close to me.
I want to feel your lips," said John as he pulled Hassan closer, put jam on his lips and gave him a long passionate kiss.
Pete was observing their love, reminisced his first kiss and thought to himself, "They look perfect together no doubt, but why does John have this obsession with Hassan? I can never understand." As breakfast came to an end, John excused himself to work on his laptop to look at a few documents. Hassan and Pete began to clean up and started cleaning the dishes.
"You were looking at us when we were kissing, but you took a long pause."
"Why is that?" inquired Hassan as he put a plate back in the cupboard.
"I was thinking about my first kiss," sighed Pete, "Why do I feel that there is a story that you are hiding?" asked Hassan as he stopped what he was doing and looked Pete straight in the eye. With tears in his eyes, Pete said, "Before my transition, I had my first kiss with a guy. When my father found out about me, he sexually assaulted me to straighten me up. Don't cry, Pete. You can share with me. I won't judge you and will listen to you. I want you to release all the pain from your past and move on," said Hassan as he held Pete in his arms. Pete started telling his story from the time he had his first sexual experience, all the hurdles he faced being trans and how he lost his mom. Pete had finally uttered the suppressed feelings to someone other than his mom. Hassan couldn't believe a father could be this cruel to his son. "I hate my father. I hate him so much," said Pete as he buried his face in Hassan's chest. "When you hate someone, they are engraved on your heart. If you want to move on, you have to forget the person. Release yourself from the attachment and just let the past go. Forgive them, and only then you will feel unconditional love and oneness with everyone," said Hassan. Pete thanked Hassan and wiped his tears. "Can I ask you something, if you don't mind?" asked Pete. "Are you helping me because I remind you of your little brother?" Hassan felt a sting in his heart, but he put on a brave smile. "You don't remind me of my little brother. I just saw him through you when you were dancing. I just like to help people and can't see them suffer." "That's really kind of you," said Pete. "What do you think about being part of my family?" asked Hassan. "You don't even know me. Am I really worth it?" inquired Pete. "You seem like a person who is worth knowing," smiled Hassan. "That's so sweet. Yes, I will be a part of your family. I would love to be," Pete said. "Welcome to the family," said Hassan as he patted Pete on the back. "No harm in having fun. You don't get to choose if you get hurt in this world. But you do have some say in who hurts you," John Green. As John was using his laptop, a message popped up on his phone. "Are you free to have some fun?" John read the message and responded that he was not in the mood. He began to overthink and went to the private folder of his phone's gallery, which had naked pictures of Hassan sent to him by an unknown number. "I can't believe you did this to me. It all starts from here. I don't know why, but I will never forgive you," John thought and picked up his phone. He quickly typed a message that he will meet at 3 p.m., stood up and headed to the bathroom. John took a shower and imagined Hassan naked. There were strange men with no faces touching Hassan all over his body. John turned around, put his hand on the wall and began to cry. He got out of the shower, put his clothes on and went downstairs to head out. John saw Hassan and their eyes met, but John looked away. "I'm going outside. It will take me a while, so don't wait up. I may stay at my mom's for the night," said John as he went towards the exit. "That's all right, but is everything okay?" asked Hassan. John looked down before he said, "Everything is fine." John had left in a hurry and it hurt Hassan quite a lot as he felt that there was something wrong. Hassan headed to the atelier, grabbed a pen and a paper from his notebook and started writing, "Silence still takes over my life. Pain is still a source of memories. And sadness is still my music. I wish fate can understand my words to witness my suffering. But I will smile even if I am bleeding in pain." John's photos were hanging on the wall, and as Hassan took one from the wall, he said, "I'm watching you disappear." As Hassan hugged John's picture, Pete knocked on the door and entered the atelier. Pete saw that Hassan was upset and asked him why he was feeling down, to which Hassan explained that John doesn't share what's in his heart and it seems that he doesn't deem Hassan as trustworthy. Pete consoled him that there is love between the two of them and it will keep them strong. Hassan responded that love doesn't solve relationship issues and only sharing, along with trust, transforms a relationship. Pete went quiet for a few seconds and told Hassan that he was jealous of him because despite everything, Hassan had been strong. Hassan responded with tears rolling down his cheeks that behind the rough exterior is a man with immeasurable grief. Pete took Hassan in his arms and gave him a long hug. Ethan entered when Pete was embracing Hassan in his arms. "Am I interrupting?" Ethan asked.
We were just talking, said Pete as he let go of Hassan and left the atelier.
Is everything okay? Said Ethan as he kissed Hassan on the forehead.
Everything is okay, replied Hassan weakly.
Ethan picked up Hassan's notebook and saw what he had written.
Tell me the reason for your sadness.
Is there something wrong between you and John?
I feel like John and I are drifting apart.
The space between me and him is growing, and I don't know why, confessed Hassan.
Do you want me to talk to him? Said Ethan.
He will be upset, but he needs to be considerate of your feelings.
Remember, I will always be on your side.
I know, but don't do that as it will overcomplicate the matter, said Hassan.
When are you moving in though?
I will be living here for a long time.
I hope you don't mind, said Ethan with a smile.
I don't mind at all, Hassan smiled back.
I love the big bed in my room.
Before I forget, here's the check for the rent for my first month here, said Ethan as he handed the check to Hassan.
I'm happy you like it.
Do let me know if you need help to put the stuff in your room, said Hassan.
I sure will, said Ethan as he headed back to his room.
After Ethan left, Hassan once again drowned in his feelings.
To feel in control, he put on his MP3 player, grabbed his paintbrush and started painting.
The song began to play, Lithium, don't want to lock me up inside Lithium, don't want to forget how it feels without Lithium, I want to stay in love with my sorrow oh, but God, I want to let it go.
The world felt strange to Hassan.
He felt disconnected as he felt himself getting lost in the music.
As he drew lines and made brush strokes, choosing different colors, he felt his unspoken words were splashed on his painting.
He turned the words in the mind into a precious piece of art.
The song continued, come to bed, don't make me sleep alone, couldn't hide the emptiness, you let it show, never wanted it to be so cold, just didn't drink enough to say you love me, I can't hold on to me, wonder what's wrong with me, Lithium, don't want to lock me up inside Lithium, don't want to forget how it feels without Lithium, I want to stay in love with my sorrow.
Ethan and Pete heard the song, entered the atelier and saw Hassan painting.
Hassan didn't notice them and both of them stood there for hours as they saw Hassan turn his pain into a painting.
After finishing his work, Hassan dropped the brush and backed up so that he could see his complete work.
Ethan walked up from behind and asked, what do you call this?
It's so deep.
The burning wings, said Hassan and sat on the floor.
I can't feel my feet.
The pain has consumed you and you spent all your energy.
You used your emotions to draw and now you're feeling tired.
Let's take you to your room, said Ethan.
Ethan took Hassan to his room and put him in his bed.
He put a blanket over him and kissed him on his forehead.
Sleep well, said Ethan as he left the room.
I'm worried about him.
He is in immeasurable pain, said Pete. He will be all right, said Ethan.
How can you say that?
Did you even see him? Asked Pete. He is a strong man, said Ethan. Pete shrugged his shoulders and said, hammering iron makes it soft.
I see your point, said Ethan. The past is history, live out of your imagination, not your history, Stephen Covey.
The next day, Hassan got ready for work, had breakfast with Pete and since John hadn't shown up, he left a voice message on John's phone, sweetie, I haven't heard from you.
Is everything okay?
You didn't call or text me.
Talk to me whenever you are free.
Love you.
After arriving at his office, Hassan kept leaving messages for John but there was no response.
Hassan couldn't concentrate on work as he kept thinking about John the whole day.
After work, Hassan took an Uber home as he wanted to reach his place soon because he felt a hole burning in his heart.
Hassan entered his home, sat on the couch and put his head back.
Tears began to form in his eyes and dropped one by one.
As Hassan wiped his tears, John entered through the door.
Where have you been?
I was worried, said Hassan.
I left you so many messages.
You don't need to babysit me.
I told you I will be at my mom's, said John.
Is it something that I did? Asked Hassan as he tried to hold back his tears.
Stop being so dramatic.
I'm tired, Hassan. Let me change and rest, said John and went up to his room.
Hassan waited for John to come down but he never did.
Hassan then left for Lake Ontario Park. As he walked towards his destination, Hassan felt darkness looming over him and he couldn't control his tears.
His friend sat next to him and asked Hassan whether John had hurt him.
Hassan felt uneasy and responded that John has changed.
Hassan's friend warned him that John was not good for him as he doesn't trust Hassan at all.
Hassan explained that he felt lost and defeated, to which his friend said that you are not lost, you just need to let go.
Hassan just wanted to be left alone and asked his friend to free him.
Hassan's friend explained that he will once Hassan himself is ready to let go.
At night, Hassan tried to reconcile with John by putting his arm on his shoulder, but John shrugged it off and put a cover on himself.
The next morning, John woke up early and took a shower.
Hassan didn't join him and waited for John to be done before he could use the shower.
At the breakfast table, Hassan kept looking at John but he didn't utter a single word.
Kara and Pete were talking to Hassan but he couldn't hear anything as he was focused on John.
As breakfast ended, John stood up to go to his car.
When Hassan asked John to wait for him, John said to take the subway.
Hassan felt shattered.
All the while, Kara tried to talk to Hassan and distract him, but Hassan took his bag and went outside to take a bus to the subway.
As Hassan sat on the bus, he could see John and himself sitting together laughing and making jokes.
John would smile at Hassan and kiss him from time to time.
As Hassan got off the bus and headed for the escalator that took him to the subway, he again saw John and himself laughing and kissing each other.
After every few moments, Hassan would see John and him holding hands, dancing, laughing and kissing.
As Hassan reached the station, he entered the subway, took a seat and closed his eyes.
He saw himself on edge and was about to fall down when a guy, Devon, asked him something, due to which he opened his eyes.
Both of them talked for a while during the subway ride, then went their separate ways.
After returning from work, Hassan was too overwhelmed and couldn't keep his emotions stuffed anymore.
He let it all out and began to cry on the floor.
John saw him, yet he said nothing instead and put a note on the refrigerator.
I will be at my mom's for the week.
After John left, Ethan entered a few moments later with a box full of his stuff to move into Hassan's place.
Ethan saw in horror as Hassan wept on the floor.
Ethan dropped the boxes and ran towards Hassan to comfort him.
Ethan felt hurt and upset as he saw Hassan suffering.
He took Hassan to his room and tucked him in his bed.
Ethan went downstairs and told Kara and Pete that Hassan wasn't his usual self and his soul was gone, which was painful to watch.
Pete told Ethan that John had been rude and distant towards Hassan in the morning.
Kara decided to head upstairs and talk to Hassan and make him feel better by setting up dinner.
Hassan protested that he wasn't in the mood, but Kara explained to him that if someone doesn't treat us well, it is because they have a dysfunctional life themselves and Hassan doesn't have to suffer silently.
After dinner, they all decided to dance except for Hassan.
Pete started moving funnily, which made Hassan laugh, and he eventually joined everyone after a while.
After cleaning up the kitchen with everyone and putting the leftover food in the fridge, Hassan saw the note left by John.
He read it but just left it there.
After Kara and Hassan went to sleep, Pete went to take a shower.
Ethan was putting his stuff in order, and when he went to the bathroom, he saw Pete naked.
Ethan apologized and left, but the image of Pete without clothes was stuck in his mind.
Ethan went to Pete's room and gave him a kiss, and Pete kissed him back.
They made love all night and later slept together in each other's arms.
Hassan was in his room but couldn't sleep, so he typed a message to John but didn't send it.
After closing his eyes, Hassan dreamt that he was on a cliff wearing all white with short sleeves and long colored strips wrapped around his arm.
Hassan was on the edge and about to jump when someone stopped him by holding his hands.
The person told Hassan that he needs to hold on and that they will meet in the future.
The person told Hassan that he would be a great father and fix a broken family.
In the morning, Hassan was having breakfast when Ethan and Pete entered the kitchen.
You both had sex last night, said Hassan.
Ethan was drinking coffee and spit it out of his nose to deny it.
Hassan said that both of them were glowing and have the same smell, so there was no need to hide the truth.
Hassan asked Ethan if it was a fling, to which Pete blushed and said that it was nice and refreshing.
Later, Ethan and Pete mutually decided to give their feelings a shot and go on a proper date.
Meanwhile, Hassan met Devon at the subway station again.
They talked for a while, after which Devon offered to walk with Hassan to his workplace.
When they reached Hassan's office, Devon moved closer to Hassan to kiss him.
John, who had come to meet Hassan, saw this and left, without even waiting for Hassan's reaction.
Hassan, on the other hand, stopped Devon and made his intentions clear that he already had a boyfriend.
Devon apologized and told Hassan that he will see him later.
As Hassan entered his office's building and took the elevator, Daniel was already inside and mocked Hassan for kissing other guys while being in a relationship.
Hassan asked him to mind his own business and not to be judgmental.
Hassan, without waiting for his response, exited the elevator.
Daniel was fuming and went to his desk when Ethan asked both Hassan and Daniel to come to the conference room for a meeting.
Daniel had to give a presentation, but it went terribly and the head of department asked Hassan to assist Daniel.
Daniel took it personally and after the meeting, he lashed out at Hassan, who complained to HR and the head of department by sending them a detailed email.
Hassan took the rest of the day off.
Since the last few months, it had been up and down with John, and it was really exhausting for him.
Hassan arrived home and went to the atelier where he saw all his paintings and pictures destroyed.
The colors were on the floor and his notebook was burned.
Hassan was devastated and felt his face sweltering with pain.
He heard a noise upstairs and forced himself to go and check it out, where he saw John breaking everything in their room.
Hassan watched John acting on his anger, but stood still near the door as he destroyed everything.
John opened the closet and took out his small box and threw it out of the window into the yard. This made Hassan scream and he quickly left the room to find his box, but John held him by his neck and pushed him up against the wall.
Hassan tried to free himself but eventually stopped and smiled, which further aggravated John and he released Hassan.
"I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead," John screamed at Hassan's face and walked away.
As John was leaving, Kara entered the house and saw Hassan on the floor with red marks on his neck.
Hassan went barefoot to the yard to look for his box.
After he found it, he went up to his room.
Kara immediately called Ethan and asked him to come over as there was an emergency.
Kara went to Hassan, who asked for a moment with his family's belongings that were in the box.
An hour had passed but there was no sign of Hassan.
Ethan had driven his car like mad to reach Hassan's place, and when Ethan went up to Hassan's room, he found him bleeding as he had cut himself with a piece of glass.